We got to get out more, out into the reality of the kingdom of God, his presence with us, outside of myself and my own preoccupation with my little ego, out into the fruit of the Spirit. I want to offer you today what may become your new favorite verse in the Bible. Sometimes people have a favorite verse in the Bible. This has probably not been yours, but it might be after the next few minutes. This is from Paul's letter to the church at Rome, Romans chapter 16, verse 22. I, Tertius, who write down this letter, greet you in the Lord. And then just a little bit later in verse 23, and our brother Quartus, along with a few other folks, send you their greetings. Now, why would that become your favorite verse? Well, we'll get to that in a minute. We're talking about life as the Spirit of God produces fruit inside of us, including the fruit of being faithful, faithful to God, but then faithful with other people, faithful in the way that I relate to other people, to look at them and to see what God sees, and to be able to respond to people in my life with love and joy and peace. And we're on that road together. Patience. I appreciate so much hearing from you in the fellowship of the withered hand at Become New. Somebody wrote after I talked about patience and said, is it okay if I listen to the episode on patience at twice the normal speed? No, not a good idea. Part of what can happen when we become captivated by screens is we begin to depersonalize people. We'll talk a little bit more about artificial intelligence, but I was talking with my friend Michael, who had been having conversations with a guy who is relying on AI now, artificial intelligence, for his dating life. This guy's literally at a restaurant, and the girl that he's dating goes to the restroom, and he's asking AI, what question should I ask her next? Which is, you know, getting a little bit close into kind of creepy territory. It's very easy in online behavior for expressions of outrage to get made in ways that would never happen if I was physically present with somebody, because there's something about being with somebody's body. I have to look you in the eyes. I have to see your face. I have to see what my words do to your body language and your spirit. And if I'm just on a screen and they're just names, a kind of depersonalization can happen. And sometimes we can get so overwhelmed. As I'm writing this now, we're still trying to come to grips with the floods in Texas and families that lost people that they love dearly. You might know there's a church, Island Park Presbyterian Church, where both Nance and I have spoken and been kind of connected with that church a long time, a few years ago. They're much beloved. Senior Pastor Brian Dunnigan died very suddenly. And now they're one of those communities deeply impacted by the floods. And I think at least three different families who are a part of that church lost daughters who were part of that mystic camp. And so the church is having to plan now memorial services for those families. So we pray, you know, each one of those names, each one of those lives lost a real person, somebody's child. And we remember that. Now, part of what the message of Jesus did was to bring to our world as a whole an understanding of human dignity, the notion that everybody is made by God and loved by God and created in the image of God. And that brings me back to that little verse in Romans that I want to reflect on. This is from Andy Crouch's book, The Life We're Looking For. And here's part of what he writes. This person who was receiving Paul's dictation for the book of Romans, Andy writes, we know this about him. We know he was a nobody, at least nobody of any importance, partly because of his occupation. He was a scribe, a secretary. His job was to take down dictation from important men, like some of the other names mentioned here in Rome, Gaius and Erastus. He may have been a slave, or he may have been a hired hand. Either way, he'd learned to read and write. On most days, he probably had one job, to take down in his hand the words of free men. How do we know that he was a nobody? We know, Andy writes, because of his name. Tertius is Latin for third, right between secundus and quartus, second, third, and fourth. The Romans were practical people. The only son who really mattered was the firstborn son. Sons of slaves did not matter at all. The firstborn would take a name related to his father and the family. The other children, especially farther down the line, did not require a name of their own. So children born in the third month of the Roman year, or perhaps the third born of the family, would be called, well, third. Number three, of who knows how many, all surplus mouths to feed, to be apprenticed or sold off once they were grown. So kind of like in movies where there's an evil bad guy and then his first henchman will just be number two and then number three. They don't even get a name. And the ancient world could be quite cruel in this way. It was quite common in the ancient world outside of Israel. Israel believed uniquely that every human being was made in the image of God. If a child was unwanted, the wrong gender, and of course in the ancient world, the wrong gender was female or malformed, it was common practice for a child to be left to die of exposure, often on a dump or on a dunghill. The Greek word kapros actually became a name in a few different variants for hundreds of people that we know of now in the ancient world. And what would happen is if somebody was looking for a slave, they might go to the dump or the dunghill, that's what kapros meant, and find a little baby there that had not died yet and bring it home to serve as a slave. And then that would be its name. So Tertius, just number three. Here's what Andy goes on to write. Paul is dictating his long list of greetings in Romans 16. He added a concluding exhortation and blessing, and now he pauses. For days, Tertius had been focusing on the page in front of him, but now Paul has stopped speaking. I imagine that Tertius looks up to see whether this is the end of the letter and realizes Paul is looking at him, and Paul says to him, Tertius, you should greet them. Perhaps Tertius is from Rome and knows the Roman church better than Paul himself. Maybe like Paul, he's never been to Rome. But while it was not unknown for scribes to add their greetings to letters, Tertius's greeting in the Lord and the words that follow break new ground. His appearance as a co-author of Paul's letter expands the circle of brothers and sisters to include those who do the anonymous work, who normally take orders, who arrive without being greeted, and depart without being noticed. Now, you might begin to think today, ask God to help me produce the fruit in me to notice people who don't get noticed, to greet people who don't get greeted, to see what God sees. Those who are named something like number three. Paul sees Tertius. He is Paul's brother, not just a hired hand. And the text goes on, most likely in Tertius' own voice, Gaius, who is host to me, and to the whole church greet you, Erastus, the city treasurer, and our brother Quartus greet you. Tertius is not just a slave here, he is a guest apparently alongside a city leader, which Erastus was. And then there's the fascinating reference to our brother Quartus. Tertius third passes on greetings from Quartus fourth. Could this be Tertius' own younger brother? Whether his biological brother or simply his brother in the Lord, here is another with the name of necessity, but now no longer a number, but a guest, a brother at the table, a person. I, Tertius, the writer of this letter, in these brief words, a revolution in the Roman world is set in motion, a transformation in personhood, already playing itself out around the table in the home of Gaius in Corinth, in the home of Prisca and Aquila in Rome. And indeed, we learn from Paul's letter to the church at Philippi, in the household of Caesar himself. Paul also says in the 16th chapter of his letter to the church at Rome, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a deacon of the church in Cenchrea. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of his people. Now, when he is commending her, the idea here is that Phoebe would be the one who would be reading Paul's letter, this woman. And part of your job, if you are a reader of a letter like this, is to explain it to people. Can you imagine you being the first person to explain Romans? And it's a woman? This is a revolution of personhood. Everybody you and I lay eyes on was made by God, thought up by God, loved by God, loved by God so much that Jesus went to the cross to die for that person. So we look at them as Andy talks. He mentions, Leanne Payne says, when it comes to dealing with people, we will all do one of two things. We will contemplate or we will exploit. And this is part of the gift that Jesus brings to the world through the power of the Spirit. It was commonly thought in the ancient world outside of little Israel that certain people were simply fit to be exploited. Some people were just fit to be slaves. But Jesus says, no, everybody is to be contemplated, to be seen as an image bearer. So today, image bearer. Look people in the face. What do their faces tell you? What might their hopes and dreams be? What does their body language say about how's their life going? How can you add life to them? How can you recognize their value? How can you encourage them? How can you intercept them with love? How can you bring a piece of joy or delight? How might you be a little bit curious about them? What might you want to know about them? What might you notice about the way that they're dressed or the way that they talk or what it is that they're doing? Or a single question that you could ask that can indicate you are a person. You have a name. You have a dream. We gotta get out more.
Hey, thanks for joining us. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes from John. You can also visit our website, becomenew.com, to access all of our videos there or subscribe for the emails that go with each video. But my personal favorite way to stay in the loop with Become New is by text. We will send you a text message every morning that we release a new video with the title of that video and just the link to the video. So if you want that, you can text the word become to the number 855-888-0444 and we'll get those messages to you. If you've got a prayer request, there's a group of us who meet each weekday, Monday through Friday, for 1 hour to pray for viewers just like yourself. So you can text or email us your prayer request at 855-888-0444 or at connect@becomenew.com. Remember, the most important thing about your life is the person you become. We'll see you next time.